When you've left your message, just hang up, or for more options, press 1 at any time.
Damn it, Darren, you said you would be here. Hi everyone, welcome to the Doofus Podcast for August 22nd, 2008. And my partner in crime is not here, and this is his answer phone. So hopefully I'll try again, and we'll start this properly. Now it's working.
Hey.
Hello, Darren.
Hey, maybe I could, like, go jogging or something like that, and that would make the podcast an awful experience for everybody.
It's true.
While holding the phone to my ear and breathing heavily throughout the whole show.
Oh, of course. Yes, I'm calling you on a phone this time. I forgot. I thought.
Yeah, I'm on a phone. I'm on an LG chocolate. It's a shit phone. Don't buy it.
And I'm on Skype. And as I think we should probably reiterate, because I don't know how much of this recording has worked so far, this
I'm
is
dead.
A Doofus Podcast for August 22nd, 2008, and I'm Alex, and the tired guy on the other end of the phone is Darren.
Okay, 30 years, everybody. Listen to him. He's not whispering anymore.
No, I'm not whispering, because here, it's 4:30 in the afternoon, and there, it's what? What time?
It's like 8:30 in the morning.
8:30.
I was up till 1:30 last night.
You said you'd be up at 8. Don't give me that. I was up till 3 playing Bionic Commando. I still had to get up for work at 8. No, 7:30.
Oh.
I feel awful.
Well, that sounds fun. Me catching up with my emails, that's not fun, folks.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. So, you've just been on holiday, so...
I have. I've been to sunny Croatia.
Unless you picked up a good DS game before you ensconced, you were either not playing anything or still playing Contra.
Contra is too hard. I pick Contra, and I'm using it as a very small ashtray now.
Oh. Did you try it on easy? I ask.
Not yeah.
Easy. You did?
It should at least fit the description. Easy.
I completed it on easy.
It's easy. It's not easy.
Well, but you can complete it.
It's rubbish at games.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So did you play anything on holiday or no?
I've been playing the girls' game Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Advance. Does that even qualify me being able to talk about it? Because surely that's just a loser's game for losers.
Well, you can say you did, and then we'll quickly.
Well, I liked it, and then I grew to absolutely fucking despise it. Pardon my language.
How did that change occur?
Well, I was hoping for, basically, this comes back to the same thing I always come back to. I was kind of hoping for Super Tennis.
Yes.
on the set. It's not that. Basically, somebody told me Game Boy Advance games are all just Super NES games anyway. That's not true. And it's kind of a very flawed tennis game, padded out with polystyrene S's of a very fluffy, milky girls RPG where you are on a tennis college.
So you get to pick clothes?
Not even that.
Wow.
Not even that. It doesn't even have a name that's more than 4 characters long.
So what's your name?
My name is Wall.
Oh.
My name is Wall, everybody. There's like a huge pulling the red curtain away type new fact for everybody.
I'm going to edit that out.
And
keep us anonymous.
What, for my own security?
Yes. Okay.
Maybe you thought John Cusack. He'd be Cusar in this game. Mm. See, no one has a surname that fits, or a name.
Yeah.
He could fit John. John Cusack could be John, but I don't think you feel very special.
Alex fits, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Tom Cruise could be Tom. So all these people would be fine playing Mario Tennis. I'm sure they'd enjoy it, but I didn't like it because I couldn't fit Darren in.
I think I might actually being louder than I usually am in life, just to make up for the fact that I'm usually so quiet. So I should perhaps tone it down. I'm just realising.
You're like some booming god voice that's just woken me up.
Well, we're about 4 minutes in, and I should really set the agenda and then go back to what I've been playing, because that's probably part
of it. Okay, I'm just going to have a little snooze while you do that, but I will listen.
Okay, fair enough. Well, today we're going to be discussing, as promised last time, Street Fighter 4, the new one, that's right.
Ooh.
We'll also be having a little talk about the recent titles released for Xbox, the Xbox Live service, because I think that they deserve talking about. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to write about them. That will also tie into the game as art discussion that's always been there, but has been reignited by Braid, one of those downloadable games. And
game as art?
Games as art, yes.
Ah, why does Braid fall into that category?
Because, well,
is it all watercolory?
It's no, not well, perhaps, but no, not, it. The creator, who's I should do my research and know his name, but I have forgotten it, and I've is it David?
English,
it's not David Humble. David Humble's the guy at EA doing the same thing.
That's enough.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's very much into the games as art scene, and it's basically an indie scene that is trying to, that's named itself as art and is trying to convey a message through the interaction with the game as opposed to story and graphics. They're taking it through the interactive side of gaming. Well, it's the one thing gaming has that's almost independent from other art forms, so I guess that's the side they're playing up as what they're going to focus on.
And are these kind of poetic, artistic messages that they're trying to prove, or are they just trying to give you a mild form of RSI?
No. They are artistic messages, but we'll get to that later. I think we'll start with what you said. And there was one other thing I wanted to discuss: the kind of mission statement for the podcast, if you want to use really awful marketing language.
Three episodes.
Well, we'll probably just.
It's okay.
Brush over
it's like the world of J.J. Abrams, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mysterious.
It is.
That's what keeps people tuning in.
Which I think is is what confuses people, maybe.
Exactly like Lost, but for computer games.
Do we do flashbacks?
Yeah. Okay. We could be podcasters art.
Yeah, I'm going to splice in like 2 weeks ago podcast right here for a flashback.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Hey, maybe later I might go into a flashback about my Wii party.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. Well, that's very your. Well, isn't that your what you've been playing? I mean, I think that's going to have to be because you said you would talk about that, and I think that's your biggie.
Yeah. Just to warn you, though, I was a little bit too drunk.
That's all. By the end of this podcast, I'm going to be a little bit too drunk, so it all balances
out.
Hold on.
So, I'm waking up now. So, it's 8:45 here, UK time, London time, which is where I am. And what time is it there?
5:15.
Oh, wow, you're properly afternooning.
Yeah, I finished work because it was a short day today, and I got my six-pack of Asahi, and I'm ready to podcast.
You are? Well, go for it, man. I'm just gonna loll around here like a limp ragdoll while I recuperate.
Okay. Well, I suppose because a lot of what the agenda today, being Street Fighter and art games, are what I've been playing. So I'll just discuss my on-the-move commuting games very quickly, because they are truly... you don't like the word retro, but I'm going to have to use it. I've been playing truly retro games.
I've
come to accept it. Okay. Well, bar a brief stint of Civ Revolution, which...
This is the DS game?
Yes.
Right.
I played that for a little while, but then Mickey borrowed my DS, and I haven't had it back since.
What did you do with your DS, Alex?
What?
This is Alex's girlfriend. What did she do with it?
She is listening to music on it.
I was going to say, you bet me she doesn't play video games, so I was wondering what X she was doing with it.
Yeah, she's listening to music, and I've bought her an MP3 player. I've given her my CD player, but still she's taken my DS to listen to music.
You just saw the wide-eyed look of fun on your face and decided that maybe she could, I don't know, catch flies with it or something? Or, yeah, something as absurd as listening to music on it.
Yeah.
When it's twice the size of any MP3 player.
Exactly. A much, much bigger.
How do you listen to music on it anyway?
I don't know. Well, I do know. I've got an R4 card, which is used for media usage. It can be used for illegal gaming, but I'm not using it for that. Because
we don't do that.
I object to it. It's
funny, I have no question in my mind that I also wouldn't copy some DS software on it. Can you emulate ROMs? Is that
you can emulate on it.
I realised I was just going into a big illegal tunnel, maybe.
No. Well, Nintendo has this thing. Specifically Nintendo I'm discussing at this point, but theoretically, even if you own the game, they don't want you to emulate it, so you get into really sticky territory. But
because the get out clause of most emulation is that if you're backing up your game, then that's acceptable.
Indeed.
Actually,
I was thinking about this, and I have a selection of Super Nintendo games in Japanese here that I've picked up, and I'd be like, well, I could just emulate those. But
so when you're led off to the padded cell, and the man dressed as Mario comes in with an electric baton, you're on your knees spitting blood onto the floor. That's what you say.
But I had it in Japanese. Yeah.
Don't make me bring Wario in here. He's very pissed off at you.
Either way, I can't get it to work with emulation. So at the moment, it's just a glorified MP3 player, and I'm not breaking any laws. And
you don't have it.
And I don't have it. Yeah, Mickey's breaking all the laws.
What if I owned the game 20 years ago? Which is
no,
true.
That doesn't count. Strangely. So. Because Mickey's got that, I have been playing the original Legend of Zelda on my Game Boy and Metroid 2 from the Game Boy, from the original Game Boy.
So, oh my god, the Black Arts!
The Black Arts, yes.
How doth you do it?
Yeah, I shove that into the bottom of my Game Boy cartridge. On my Game Boy SP, because that was the last one that could support black and white Game Boy games.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a real... It sounds like you've trodden on my toes with the retro thing here, and I'm going to have nothing to speak about, but please do tell. Was that a good experience?
It's... I'm really enjoying Metroid. It's a little strange, because... There is no map. This is the first two Metroids had no map, and I'm fine with that, because I think if you put a map in those old games, you very quickly find out you're not actually in a very large area. It really does destroy the illusion of scope. But
yeah,
the problem is they reuse a lot of the room assets. So I mean, I don't mean in the kind of all tiles look the same in the Metroid games. I mean, literally, you will be running through five of the same rooms in various areas of the game, and you're like, where am I?
All the things that you do to recognise your place in this kind of abstract maze.
Yeah.
Is fucked.
Yes.
Because you don't know where you're.
Especially when they're like literally one on top of the other, and you're like, am I in the lower one or the higher one? Have I been through this one? Have I not? So what I find myself doing is trundling around for hours on end, and then suddenly realising, oh, the tiles, they look different.
I've been lost in an airport.
Yeah, it is very much like being in Heathrow specifically, I think. It's
yeah,
so
I've been lost in Heathrow Airport.
Yeah,
with a gun.
Okay, so we just ran out of our 15 minutes again.
Bam! So it goes so quick, doesn't it?
It does go pretty quick.
We barely cover any ground.
I'll put a beep in there, because it might be the last time we have to beep today, because I've just paid to get this thing upgraded, but it takes 12 hours.
Believe the level of commitment you're putting into the podcast?
I know, I've already spent like 50 quid to get this thing up and going, not just the podcast, the whole site, but it's cost me 50 quid so far.
50 quid?
Yeah.
That's like nearly $80.
That's more than that, isn't it? It's like nearly $100.
I don't know. What have you spent all this money on?
The site, just having it.
Yeah.
Existing. The damn stupid sound recorder that I never bloody use.
You mean the one you tried?
Yeah, and now...
Sound recorder.
That does not get a recommendation. What does get a recommendation is this thing, which is Pretty May call recording for Skype, because it works pretty well, and then the Audacity audio editing tool that I got for free, which is actually very good for what my very
Richie pirated, everybody.
No, I did not pirate. It's free. Actually free. Unless I somehow pirated it accidentally, in which case, if anybody from that company hears this, just tell me who to pay.
Actually, my mum works for them, so you're fucked, mate.
Oh, damn it.
Okay. Sorry, she'll be round.
Yeah.
The electric baton. Either way, you're going to get electric baton in the next 20 hours.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I just finished describing Super Metroid.
Yes, well, not Super it's Metroid, a big mulch Metroid. Of similar backgrounds.
It is. It's a bit. Well, not even. There are no real backgrounds. It's a big mulch of similar rooms, as in the tiles are all in the same place. The different tiles there are in the same place. So it's a bit like walking through that awful house in the Avengers movie. There's a reference nobody will get. Yeah, so it's fun. I heard it was more linear than previous Metroids.
Okay, so kind of doing away with the need to recognise a lot of the scenery.
No,
if you're
this is
all through it.
This is the thing. It's more linear in the sense you don't have to double back on yourself. Like most Metroids, you'll see something you can't really get through until much later, and you have to double back and play most of the game again, like go through all the maps.
Yeah,
again.
And it'll be apparent where you've got to go to, because you'll have a certain colour gun, for instance, that will correspond with a wall you can smash down. Is this not the case?
It's similar case, except generally you get the tool you need very close to where you need it. It's much more like, oh, I just got something that allows me to jump in water, kind of thing. There must be water nearby. So, no, that happens.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's that straightforward.
Yeah, but you still get lost, and it's still very free-roaming. So it's not linear in that sense. It's just more like walking a straight line. I think that makes sense. There's no doubling back.
I see.
But it's not. It's still free-roaming. It's still free-roaming, but there's no doubling back if you go the correct route the whole way through the game.
So, should people seek it out? How much would it cost now? Surely it would just be in a bin somewhere.
It cost me £4 in Japan.
£4? £4.
And I would, if you fancy it, if you fancy trying it. No, I mean, if you want to play it, I'll do
the
Metroid. If you like the Metroid games, the older ones and the Game Boy Advance ones that were released, I think it's definitely better than you would expect for an old Game Boy game, especially as once you put it in any of the colour Game Boys or the modern Game Boys, as long as you're not actually running it on a black and white one, it will upgrade it to coloured
in a slightly misty watercolory type.
Nearly all the backgrounds are blue or brown, but Samus, the main character,
he's normally red and yellow.
Is red and yellow. Her sprite actually becomes pretty cool. As do all the enemies, also pick up that same colouring. But Samus's sprite herself is actually very clear, and actually pretty well animated. I'm fairly impressed considering it's a 1991 Game Boy game.
You are fairly impressed, aren't you?
Yeah.
I liked the part of this review where you said, if you fancy it, why not buy it? Because I suppose that counts for everything.
Well, no, it's one of those things where if you're saying to yourself,
you like it.
No, if you're saying to yourself, I wonder if I should get it, then I would say definitely yes. I would not recommend searching it out if you had no inkling to go and buy it, is what I mean.
Yes. I think there was a kind of a trap that a lot of writers fell into in the early 90s, when perhaps the writers were sort of maybe a bit less educated than they are now, where often a review would end with, if you like this type of thing, you'll probably like it. If you don't like this kind of thing, then it's probably not up your street. Just really woolly. But I prefer yours. If you fancy it.
Yeah. I mean, very specifically.
And I do fancy it.
If you want to play a game like this, it's a good version of a game like this. Either it holds up today for its genre, just graphically it's a little less, is basically what I mean by that. So if you were thinking about it, do it. And what I might do, I've just had a really weird idea, and considering you're probably the only person that listens to this, once I've completed it, I may...
I don't listen to it. I'm here now.
I reckon I should give it away as a prize once I complete it. I think that would be quite funny. Send it to you.
Hey, that's a great idea.
I'll send it anywhere in the world if somebody
can
answer.
In the world, folks. This would be a really good test. They'll come out of the Wormwood now.
Wormwood?
They'll come out of prison. They'll come out of Wormwood Scrubs just to have it.
Yeah, so I will, when I've completed it, I will put on the podcast, I'll come up with some kind of question, and the one person, my mum, who even attempts an answer...
Whose mum's going
to
win it?
Yeah, whose mum's going to get closest to the right answer? I will accept the right number of letters, or even words, in the answer.
Even a noise.
Yeah, even
please, a... Please, mum, just call me. I miss you. I'll send you something. Okay, so you're going to put the question up on the website?
No, I'll do it in the next podcast. They've got to listen. I'm not doing any. This is a podcast promotion. This is not.
Yeah, this is an advert. We're employed to do this. You know.
Yeah. Podcast promotion. Nothing to do with the site. The articles on the site. This is a podcast.
We're voice coaches in real life.
Yes, me and my lisp are voice coaches.
Yeah.
The other game I was playing.
I can't enter this competition, can I?
Yeah, why not? Sod it. Go for it.
But I will. Okay, everybody, I will be entering this competition because I have the means to play it, and I haven't played it before, so I might actually be the most likely candidate to win.
You
unless
will,
you can get in.
If somebody
if anyone else
enters, you automatically lose. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Dan, but if you are the only person to enter, I'll send it to you because I just found out sending you a parcel that big costs me 50p. So
really?
Yeah.
That's from Japan to London.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. As long as it's
really
small.
Okay, that's the whole other world. But okay. Yeah. But we'd be so pleased if someone was listening to us, wouldn't we?
We would.
We probably do. We definitely speak about it for a long time.
I'd probably put something else in the parcel as well. It probably wouldn't just be. Rolling a 50-pound
lovingly handwritten letter wrapped in a pair of pants. He's not going to do that, folks, don't worry.
No, you're safe.
I love the way we call everyone folks, like it's the 50s.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The other thing I've been playing, and it's not really worth talking about because everybody knows about it, is
Zelda.
The original Zelda, on the reissue of it on the Game Boy Advance. Learning it doesn't matter that you can't speak Japanese for it, because there isn't very much in English, in any spoken written stuff there anyway, so just a bit of nostalgia, really, nothing to talk about.
Does it hold up? Is it boring? Is it as boring as Mario Tennis's RPG bit?
No, it's as long as you remember the kind of date and the fact the controls, it really does just use up, down, left and right, as in there are no diagonals. Far more difficult. It means you've really got to go straight up to an enemy. You've got to be going straight at him to hit him, which is kind of risky, and it's tougher than I remember. But it's still
because of those limitations.
Yeah, it's but you just keep restarting and then running back to the whichever dungeon it is on a relatively small world map. So it's I would recommend it less than Metroid 2,
mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think RPGs age quite badly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, particularly 8-bit ones, anyway.
Yeah. It's still good, but it's far more caught in its time. Whereas I think this Metroid game, given a new skin,
yes,
and a few, I mean, I'm only halfway through, so maybe the Metroids have just got a bit stronger, so maybe they'll progress even further, and by the end you'll be becoming huge. All it needs is better graphics, and it would be still quality.
Dare I ask if you're going to rate them?
Oh, okay. I would give Metroid out of...
Sound a bit prepared, man.
You're going to tell me out of... 12, 13, what? Darren.
Oh, to count them in. I thought you had your silly money thing.
Oh, my silly money thing? No, nobody. you already established nobody's interested on that. I'm just putting that on the site. It's a good way of avoiding the Metacritic, though. I was right.
Why do you want to avoid the Metacritic, Alex?
I don't want to be involved in that debacle.
What's the matter with it? It aggregates all of the scores on the internet, if you don't know.
Aggregate. No, I think the problem with it is that one person who doesn't enjoy it drags it down.
Drags it down.
Whereas people will be interested in it because it's of a genre, and people who are interested in the game will be looking at it because it's a genre they're interested in. And thus,
yes,
a load of people who decided they're more interested in something else, a different kind of game.
Using a DS as an MP3 player?
Yeah, exactly. People who review it with that as their baseline are going to drag any Metacritic down. It just seems unreal. Because I'm reviewing any game I pick up, any game I choose to play, and not all of them will be in a genre that I like. I'm just trying to get a big, broad range of experience.
Well, what you're doing at the moment, poshest way of reviewing, because if you're really posh, if you're like the Times newspaper, you won't put a score at the end. You'll just have to read it, which is really boring.
Yeah.
But we can distill this now into a system. So if Metroid and Zelda were games, Alex, what fuzzy little animals would they be?
Okay. God. Zelda
would you adopt them, or would you just kick them in the face?
Would be a really elderly bush baby.
Aww.
Kinda, it's losing its looks, it's been baited, can't move so well, but you can still tell it was cute at some point, and you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you leave it on the bus. Yeah. You wouldn't call up the bus company and check.
Exactly.
It's fine, just let it go.
Yeah. Whereas
Metroid sounds like something a bit more sprightly.
It's still a lot more sprightly. It's probably a vole. It's kind of
vole.
Not to everybody's taste, but the people who like it will still think it's really cute.
Well, that fits with the tunneling aspect of the game.
It does. Perfect.
Yeah.
How
I like the way he senses.
I can be loud today. I'm enjoying it.
It must be fun, huh?
It is.
I'm limiting my volume slightly because I think people might still be asleep in the house.
Fair enough.
Which is kind of ridiculous because it's 20 past 9.
Exactly. Yes.
You're recording now?
Yes.
I feel weak. I feel weak. I feel like going into a flashback. I'm at the party and I've had a few drinks, a few cocktails, and I've got the Wii. They're getting the Wii out. Going to play the Wii. Everyone stood up, everyone's getting excited, it's Mario Kart. Unfortunately, well, the thing is, Alex, just to snap out of my flashback, when I played Mario Kart with you in Japan recently, I was really good at it, wasn't I?
Yeah, in context, I was horribly drunk, and you hadn't had any drink.
Yes, I think alcohol affects your skills on this more than I realised. I think I'm being a bad loser. I was really good at it. I was really bad and I was really drunk. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I could go back into the flashback now. And I'm playing and it's really fun, and I'm going around the track, and all my friends are laughing, and even the people who aren't playing are laughing, just like the adverts on the TV. It's really fun, and I love my friends, and it's really great, but it does annoy me because every time I get really far back, I get a bullet bill. I get sent to the front, and it kind of takes the edge off it for me. But I can't keep going on about how good this next game is. I'm sort of old culture loser, and I'm not enjoying myself at their house, so I'm kind of going along with it. I wonder if people go along with the whole Wii fun thing and don't complain about it, because it is like being a stick in the mud at a party. You can't really throw the controller on the ground and go, "This is shit." I'd rather just sit on the floor in my bedroom.
You could launch it through a TV. You could launch it through a TV and pretend like you just hadn't had the wrist strap on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then we can all get a PS3.
Yeah.
And not see each other. And just play really serious games. We played Wii Sports as well.
Mario Kart and Wii Sports, those are the two you...
Like, yep, they've just got Wii Fit. I'm hoping to go over there and try that out. I don't really know anything about Wii Fit. What happens in that?
It's not, well, there's a couple of bits that are games, but it
I
really
think I'd hate it.
It's like WarioWare in the sense that only one person can play at a time, so it's not quite competitive. It's not competitive. It's very
crap. It looks crap, basically. I'm gonna be grumpy if I want to be.
Well, it's
crap.
I need a set of scales.
It looks like a set of scales, actually. It's some sort of balancing step aerobic thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's animated scales, and I mean all of the people that I just realised, people, your description of me from the first week when you told everybody that I was ginger and big and tall.
Did I just describe you?
You did in the first week, yeah.
Are you basing it on your Skype profile picture, which is a perfectly spherical pink head with no discerning features in a green jersey?
That wasn't what it was based on, no. but basically, I got Wii Fit and I scored the highest mark on everything and have not picked it up since. Because
oh, wow, because of the sheer power of your... your masculinity.
Well, it's not designed for people who are fit.
As much as a man as you.
Well, as much as probably even... I mean, I'm not even saying probably even. As much as you, even.
I mean, yeah, because I'm kind of weedy.
But you're fit, you're healthy, you do go to the gym, and you're...
Yeah, I'm in running gear right now.
There you go.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do after this.
We
tears streaming
out. Run.
Yeah, I've got the. I could go around the house and demand to play Wii Fit instead of joining a gym. But oh, I see. So simply because of you're a big hunker chunker guy, you scored big.
It also tells me I'm fat because I'm heavy for my height. It's like.
Well, they don't take that into account. They don't take into account your huge barrel chest and your huge bulging, rippling, florid. Sweaty baby bush killers. Bush baby killers. I just started listing words then, it all went a bit wrong. Yes, you got huge arms.
Yeah, so it gives me 100% on everything, then tells me I'm fat. Oh, you're really
fat. That's terrible. It's like a really, it's like a high maintenance girlfriend thing to do.
Yeah.
You're so brilliant. But you're fat. Sort it out. Oh, I'm sorry, Wii Fit. I don't know what to do. Oh, I love you. And yeah, that's how it got good reviews.
I don't know if it doesn't help that I've got the Japanese version of the game, of course, but it told the two girls I know who've tried it that they were underweight. I got on it, it told me that I was overweight, and I'm the only one that doesn't
think
of exercise.
Things like that should be involved in games.
But it's not a game. It's
how long is it going to be until a computer game tells you you're lonely?
I think the fact
if anybody's bought Grand Theft Auto 4, you're probably a bit lonely.
Well, thanks, Daz. I bought it and completed it.
Alienate everyone who's listened to this. So I haven't played it very much.
It's a lot of fun.
yeah, it is. It is. He's probably not going to listen to this, so I could probably say. But a mutual friend of mine was recently
a mutual friend of yours. Mutual.
I'm
to
just
yourself.
Kind of. Yes. He's only a friend of mine, but he's mutually a friend of mine. As well.
He's friends with other people you know. He has other friends.
Yes, but I don't really. No, that's not true. But he's not going to listen, so I can just waffle on in this way. But basically, he was saying that he'd been playing Grand Theft Auto for so much that he'd lost the concept of understanding what films were for because he couldn't interact with them. Actually, he didn't enjoy Batman because he couldn't interact with it.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think the lonely alarm should go off there.
Yeah.
But that's quite interesting, isn't it? He'd actually ruined his life a little bit by playing Grand Theft Auto 4 too much.
I completed it. I can say it did not have that effect on me at any point.
Did you not feel that you wanted to interact with Batman at all when you saw it?
No.
Well, no. It was weird.
Other than that obvious childhood dream of wanting to be Batman. Like
which we all thought to us and we were just staring out into space. Oh, maybe I can be Batman now. This helps a lot of tips here. But we also handbrake. We also played Wii Boxing.
Oh,
what's that? What is going on? It's like when you press the visualizer for your music program. There's lots of spheres floating around. I still don't know which one I am. I feel like when I laughed at my mum when I got her to play Revenge of Shinobi, which did happen. she basically pushed left, and if you don't know Revenge of Shinobi, it's a scrolling platformer. You are on the bottom left most of the time, so she just tried to walk backwards at the start of the level.
Sounds like the best way to deal with that situation, actually. Thousands of ninjas trying to kill you.
But that's the kind of carrying under coats type situation. You are a ninja yourself, you think you'd do better. If my mum was a ninja, she'd just run away. My mum is a ninja, so that's alright. But yeah, we're boxing.
Well, I'm pretty sure you could hold it by the nunchuck wire and just spin it around and have pretty much the same game experience.
Do you think if you put the Wii nunchuck on like one of those rotary washing lines,
yes,
two of them next to each other, imagine that. That's a huge setup, but if you had a big enough room.
Yeah.
And then you spin them like Catherine wheels,
draw.
And then maybe that's the way you play Wii boxing.
Definite draw if you had two sets, yeah. You'd just be equal.
Yeah. But Wii tennis I really like.
Mm.
What's your favourite Wii sports game, Alex?
Bowling.
Bowling, yeah, we played that quite a lot, it's good.
No, I'm a big fan of bowling just because I went to the Wii launch.
One of the Wii launch things
in Japan. They did a tour and they had one in Tokyo, one in Osaka, one somewhere else. And
so you went along to the Osaka one?
Yes, and I only had time for
bowling.
I was there for 4 hours. And I had time for bowling and Excitatruck. And then, apart from that, I just looked at games. But bowling definitely fulfilled for me the kind of one-to-one promise of Wii, the kind of one-to-one movement, motion control, which I know it doesn't really have, but because of the action of bowling, the fact that it is all momentum and momentum and twist and...
Yeah, the control is perfect for that.
Yeah.
In fact, I found myself, these are the kind of conversations you have while playing the Wii, possibly in a high-pitched kind of mum voice going, oh, isn't it amazing?
Mm.
But the more I pretended I was actually bowling, the better I got.
That is the one...
That's the only one that does that.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it's the only one where if you really pretend to be doing the sport, it helps.
Boxing? No.
Well, no.
Not a chance.
Boxing,
I don't know what you're supposed to do with boxing.
Tennis. You do better if you keep it nice and short and tight motions right by your
Yeah, you
side.
Can play tennis just at your side, just banging against your thigh when you suddenly realise that you only need that little flick of the wrist action.
Golf also is far more easily controlled with a small action.
It is, yeah, if you don't stand in the golf posture,
yeah,
and you just kind of make your arm into like a pendulum, you can kind of just do the golf gesture.
I hold the one end of the remote very tight and then use that as a pivot.
Wow, you're really reducing the amount of physical exertion.
It's not the it's the control of the movement. It's not the effort involved.
Okay.
Because the longer your movement and the more joints involved, the less straight it becomes.
I was also chastised for being seen as cocky for using Mario Kart, for steering with Mario Kart with the one hand holding the Wii controller in my left hand.
Right.
It was seen as a cocky gesture, which I believe may direct it from the party all the more soon. Because if you're playing it properly, you hold a nunchuck, don't you? This doesn't happen at parties.
If you want to
and
win,
you do. Sorry?
If you want any chance of winning the game, you do, certainly.
Well, exactly, because you do the tricks with the nunchuck, don't you?
Yeah.
But this doesn't happen at parties.
You do the tricks with the remote, but...
Yeah, don't you jerk up the nunchuck in some sort of...
No, you jerk the remote up to do the movement, but the analog stick is much more accurate than the...
Than the controller, than the D-pad.
Than the tilt sensor.
D-pad, is it cool to say D-pad now?
It's fine to say D-pad.
Okay. Struggling to keep in fashion. The Wii party was... I'll do a more indulgent flashback at some point in a future podcast, but that one... I can't bring myself back there, Alex.
Maybe we should both have a more indulgent flashback and get James on here because he wanted in. And we can just all pretend to be playing Street Fighter or something. Swear blind.
Well, we have in the same room. James is a friend we grew up with. Hi James.
Hi James.
And we talk about computer games a lot at school and avoid girls' eye contact.
Yeah.
The end.
That's true.
But were we ever in the same room playing Street Fighter?
I don't think so. I think it was always like it was always one or the other, I suppose.
Like prostitutes, I would be led out of your house, bundled into a car, driven off, and then James would arrive. That's while you're smoking, looking at the window.
I chain my prostitutes not chain them together, that's wrong.
You chained us together. As soon as I left, he arrived.
I remember one time, here's my time to fess up, how this gives you some idea of how awful we were when we were young, or how awful I was. There was definitely
I'm not sure I want to agree with this. What did we do?
There was a ranking of who was best at these games, who was best at games, and you
oh no, really, was there?
You sat quietly on top, being better than me and James, like Mario Kart and Street Fighter.
That's how quiet now.
You sat above the two of us.
Did you guys have some sort of system to?
Well, no, we just knew who was spanking. We just knew who was spanking the other ones. I mean, you know, you generally beat us, and I generally beat James. Apart from one time that he kicked the living crap out of me with Eddie Honda, and it was one of those situations where I was like, "We'll just have another game," in this vague hope that I'd eventually catch up with him.
And didn't happen.
No, it didn't. He was kicking my.
His embarrassments never made it back to me.
No. I think I
because
told
I wasn't
him
allowed
never
to speak.
To, I think I told him never to
in
tell
the
you.
Prostitute
then. Which is my point.
the snooker ball was so tightly wrapped around my face.
This was my dark secret for a long time. I just thought I'd admit it now and get it out in the open. I was that sad that it was a worry to me. That
You were seriously worried about it.
I was.
Street Fighter 4, go.
Street Fighter 4. It is incredible.
Oh, great.
I'm going to put that out there. I've played through it with two characters. Ken being the... Actually, I say two characters. I play through it with one character, Ken and Ryu.
Yep, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, they are the same, but I'm not a big fan of the charge moves. And the other reason I haven't played through it with more characters, actually, it's not difficult if you're used to the old characters. If you play the old characters, you'll be pretty solid throughout. I mean, it is, and that's the beauty of it. I'll come back to that in a second. The game is, for an experienced player of Street Fighter, easy. Of course, in Japan, you're basically set up on a linked system with four other cabinets, and if you're playing and somebody else jumps in, you will be fighting them, so it's quite a challenge to get through an entire game without somebody challenging you.
Kind of need to employ some people to stop this happening.
You can't, because if they unless they're literally
they can't even see you
beating people off. Well, unless they're I just said beating people off. Unless they are unless they're occupying the other cabinets without playing
occupying
them.
In inverted commas by the sound of it.
The other seats, unless they're occupying the other seats without playing, then one of them will be fighting you. You have to be playing alone, or on,
so it's
on
just
a
all it's all become a, some sort of big masturbation festival.
It's set up for competition play. It's set up for competition play, and the reason for that is because Capcom is using this to balance the characters. So they want as much data, I suppose, as they can get.
Because they're updating it. You explained to me they're updating it on the fly.
It seems to be. Unless the build that they released is now the final one and they're just gathering information from it. It's all connected to the web, and they are... Yeah, they're getting data. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure they're sending data in. It's certainly not complete yet.
So the way people are using their characters, the moves they make, who's the most successful characters, they're sort of calibrating and fine-tuning the game based on these early games.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So, and it's a damn good thing, because although it's brilliant, I mean, I say it's brilliant because it feels like Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bored of all these I mean, they're great, but these 3D fighters, they're too... There's too much to memorize. I want.
I'm put off when I play them. Not that I play them very often, but I suppose that is a good yardstick in a way, because it's just there's kind of almost there's so much going on, and you know that you can't just unlock it without a lot of play. And there's something quite immediate about the Street Fighter format, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean it's very. The move sets on the modern 3D fighters, the new 3D fighters, they're just too vast. The only way you're going to become competitively good is to literally sit down and memorize move lists and try so many combinations. Whereas with Street Fighter, you memorize all of your moves. You've probably memorized the majority already because you're used to Street Fighter 2.
Everybody knows these moves. It's, everyone can do a Dragon Punch. Okay. So you can jump straight on this machine and be rewarded with a lovely 3D Dragon Punch, right?
Exactly. And Street Fighter 2 is incredibly complex. Street Fighter 4 are both incredibly complex in terms of timing, but you've got to learn technique and timing and animation as opposed
to because you can counter moves, you can counter special moves now, which looks great. I mean, it really looks good to watch as well.
And some people I know aren't a fan of the art style. It looks very much like brushwork. When it zooms in, it really does look like the difference between shadow and light on the body is looks like oil paint brushwork.
That's kind of the theme, though, isn't it? Because it is. Aren't there explosions of ink?
There are, yeah, and that's basically that's the new counter and specials thing they put in, along with the old ones are in there. The old X-isms that they had from the Alpha games are in there with the shadows and the super moves. But this.
Do you have the round where you can beat up the car?
No. Oh. No car beating, I'm afraid.
Well, that was fun.
It was. The one that is very rarely in, and everybody seems to forget, is the barrel level, where they used to drop.
Yeah, where they come rolling towards you, and you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a final fight reference.
It is. It's straight out of that, and for some reason, so many websites seem to forget about that when they talk about the bonus rounds, and it was my favourite. So,
you were very good at it.
I was.
And that's those days are over.
They are. Oh well. But yes, there's no more of that. But I think the big thing that when it comes, I mean, the big thing with Street Fighter 4, and I mentioned this briefly in the review, and then if you click on it, it goes somewhere else, is that the game is like Street Fighter 2. It's amazing. I love it. It's still a bit unbalanced, so I'm glad they're using this to refine the characters. Yeah. The new characters are, as far as I am aware, there are 5 new characters that I have met so far in the game.
Right.
For the 4 new controllable ones who are all a bit, I've said SNK-like, Neo Geo-like.
Ah, okay.
In my review, they're all that kind of like,
they're kind of bulky, big, sort of slightly absurd.
Or horribly stylized. The one that I think fits in really well, actually, is the...
Is this the wrestler?
The wrestler, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he fits really well. He controls... I really don't enjoy playing him.
Is he like Zangief to control?
No, he's far too fast. He's like playing Zangief crossed with a super-powered Chun-Li.
Wow.
He's moving so
imagine
quickly.
That.
It's very difficult to control. I'm sure that's a matter of time to get used to him. I haven't played as Rufus. I have played against him. His
Rufus and Bill and Ted?
No, the big fat guy. It looks like he seems all right as a controlled character. He is obviously slow and powerful, similar to Zangief, but his moves seem to have a bit, certainly compared to Street Fighter 2, because I haven't played as Zangief yet, his moves seem to have a bit more, they seem to occupy more of the screen when he doesn't move, so impacts a greater
range of
body.
You can kind of dominate the playing field with him quite easily.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for, yeah.
And is that kind of unfair? Is that something that needs to be tooled?
I'm undecided. When I played against him controlled by the computer, I thought he was very weak, but then some guy in the arcade killed me 5 times in a row with him as I switched it up between different characters. Although it's 3 rounds to win, it's the best of 5 in the arcade here, so it generally went to 3-2, but he was still a bit too, might just be one of, I might just have been playing somebody really good, but he could be a little too powerful. He might occupy a bit too much of the playing field when he fights.
I see.
Possibility. The other two characters, the French guy, whose name I have forgotten, seems pretty good. He's a pretty good fit to the universe. in terms of style and look, but his moves are very unflashy. That he seems to have a lot of grab moves and rolling and then kicking. Which
can't he create massive balls of energy just from flicking his fingers?
If he can, I didn't manage it, and I tried all the moves that were listed on the cabinet.
That's why I never play as Zangief, because he can't produce anything that looks like fireworks.
Yeah, no,
I'm that simple.
Yeah, he didn't do anything like that. It was very much like kind of judo guile, if you like, who's done away with sonic booms in favour of grabs. And
he sounds crap. I'm not going to be him.
He's actually pretty good in terms of straight combat, but his special moves, to my mind, you need to be so close for them to work, or one of them is a roll that puts you up behind the character, the opponent, to kick them. And the other two seem to be grabs. I got one of them to work. One of them was definitely a grab. Not really to my style, but he's got a good speed, good impact, a good kind of size character for me. But I'm not sold on the moves.
You need some exciting moves. That sounds balls.
The final character is this woman, Viper, who really just looks what you would imagine a Japanese person to imagine a female American Secret Service agent to look like.
I know. Little dark glasses.
Yep.
Leather gloves.
Yep.
Possibly a small mobile phone that she chats into at the beginning of every round.
Yeah. Have you been watching videos, or are you just...
Yes. Yeah. It makes me well researched.
Yeah, it does.
What do you want, clairvoyance? Fucking clairvoyance?
And it's... She's alright. She looks awful, but she controls well. She's got a lot of kind of... She's a little bit like Fei Long, if you remember fighting him in the Super game. She's got quite a few...
I do remember him. He had like an interesting balance thing where he would... He just had a very kind of specific technique, which was quite Virtua Fighter, in fact.
Mm.
And he handled very nicely.
Yeah.
It went very well.
Yeah, she's a little bit slower than him, but she's got the kind of scissor kick going on and a few more moves.
I always used to play with Guile.
You did.
Quite unimaginative, really. Now I know that to be a dirty, underhand tactic.
Well,
and I'm sorry, Alex. I just want to say I'm sorry.
That's fine. I don't even know if I had a main character. You also did Blanka, and for some reason I could not protect myself on that at all. What was that noise?
I got an email.
Oh.
It's all kicking off because it's the morning here. Things are starting to ebb in. Business begins.
Of course.
I work on stock exchange, so... folks.
Is that why your surname is Wall? As in Wall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, we're back again. I'm not even trying for a smooth edit. I'm on my fourth beer.
I got interrupted. You were saying about how the 15-minute sort of cutouts is quite good because I just started waffling about the fact that I live on Wall Street and I'm a stock market trader. Which I am. I do.
Wall Street in
London.
It was
convenient. It made me shut up. So we can move now on to... something I'm very excited about.
Recent Xbox Live titles, which have been pretty phenomenal this week, last week I should say, with Bionic Commando, the rearmed version, which is...
Anything with a grappling hook makes me excited, I think.
And Braid, which is the other title. The reason I'm bringing them up together is because they are so completely different and yet both just 2D platformers.
2D
in essence.
Fabulousness.
Yes, but in such completely different ways. I can't imagine back in the days of the Super Nintendo and everything like that when 2D was at its height. I can't think of two games that were so different.
Mm-hmm. And so good.
And so good within the kind of realm of this is a 2D platformer. So it's really interesting to be faced with this.
Better than James Pond?
RoboCod or the original?
I've forgotten about RoboCod.
RoboCod was fantastic, and I would say better.
Was it
James
good?
Pond.
I can't remember.
RoboCod was the one we had, wasn't it? Did you have James Pond?
I did have that, yeah, because you could extend from your centre.
That was RoboCop.
I wouldn't explain it any more than that, because it sounds rude.
That was RoboCop.
RoboCop, okay, well, yeah, is it better than that? Obviously it is.
Yes. Yes, it
yes.
is. I wish I could say no, because I really enjoyed that at the time.
I'll do it one, we hail that as a benchmark for the game.
Tell you what was a really good 2D side-scroller, but really hard, Hudson Hawk.
Where, if you left your joystick long enough without doing anything, he would do the usual things of tapping his foot, looking at you, taking his glasses off, sort of urging you to play. A piano would fall on him and kill him.
That's right. Yeah, I
spent more time doing that than playing the game, but it was good, wasn't it?
It was. It was very good. The only weapon you had, was a baseball that you could pitch around the place. To distract guards and things. It was really good, but it was too hard really for me when I was how old? 9.
Yeah, that would be about right.
Yeah, damn it. Anyway,
there's no way you can play those games anymore.
Completely off.
I'm enjoying taking you off topic.
Thanks. Bionic Commando. Now, I think this is interesting for you and I especially, because we're interested in it in a completely different way to a lot of Americans. The penetration of the Nintendo Famicom, the NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, give it names from every country, was so much more in America than it was in Europe. We had our C64s and our STs and our Amigas, whereas kids in America were playing NES.
Jim Wilde is playing NES. Yes. What you're getting to is that I've not actually played the original Bionic Commando. But yeah, I'm still excited.
But the thing is, but everybody,
what the hell are we doing?
Every podcaster, of the big sites, the one-ups and stuff, are talking about it in a retrospective with nostalgia. All of my American friends in Japan are playing it now, and I'm like, did you play the original? And they're like, of course, I beat it repeatedly. And
Beat it. Yeah. I love the way they say that.
And
yes, it's us and you, folks. Americans do say they beat games.
Yeah, I say
we
I
complete
clocked
games.
It. I clocked it.
You clocked?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You just made that up then.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, let's say that though. That could be like a kind of catchphrase of Doofus.
Yeah.
Clocked that.
Yeah, I clocked it. It takes some getting your head around if you've never played it before, Bionic Commando, I'll be honest.
You've got a gun, you've got a grappling hook, you can jump, you can pull things towards you.
No. You can't jump. This is what takes getting your head around. Because there were only two buttons on the Famicom pad.
That went really well, didn't it? Because I didn't know.
Yeah. So you could only grapple and fire your gun.
Wow. So you just have to be dragged up by overhead
or swung. Yeah.
Overhead objects.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of, that makes it more puzzly.
It does have a small puzzle element in a kind of really irritating way sometimes.
Okay.
But this is
is this going to be controversial? Is it crap?
No, it's not crap at all. It's just if you're not viewing it with a nostalgic kind of slant, it's a very, I want to say, different game. There are very frustrating points about it, because there are things that, having played games for as long as you and I have, that you would expect to be able to do that you can't. But once you get your head around that and you remember, because you're looking at a game that, although you're playing on a 2D plane, is good 3D graphics really around you. Once you get your head around the fact that it's not a modern game, you are playing a retro game just with a really nice skin, and you start to accept that, and you get a bit more used to the grappling hook and the puzzling elements, if you like, it just
because
opens up and
a lot of
fantastic.
A lot of the conventions of 2D action platformers were set in 16-bit era, so we've all lived through that, and you kind of learn a lot of the benchmarks and a lot of the things that you just come to expect. Mm-hmm. Whereas these, you're saying, aren't the case with Bionic Commando, because these conventions hadn't been brought about yet. So you have to kind of relearn the game logic.
I would say the only point...
That's a terrible sentence, sorry.
what I would quite like in it, and I would say is a realistic jump button. If I mean, because they have added things. They have added things. Like they have added. I'm not sure if they've added the grenade or if they've just added the fact that it's bound to a new button. So you've got three buttons by default that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think with the fourth button, a small hop would have been nice to include, and that small hop probably wouldn't enable. I mean, all you'd have to do is jack up puzzle platforms, if you like, an extra half inch to keep them out of reach.
Jack up platforms a half inch. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's like imagine on the screen you can jump half an inch.
My mum wouldn't understand that.
You can
jump half
an inch.
Yeah, I do understand.
And you take
everything
up, so you still couldn't reach it. But there are little blocks in the game that enemies can jump over, but you can't. And if you could just make that half a jump, you have to swing up past it, which is just a bit ridiculous when you're throwing barrels, swinging from place to place, and you can't get over a cinder block that's half your height. It's like, oh, well, it kind of removes the kind of, I'm a bionic commando, but I can't hop over this small platform.
I see your point.
And I was thinking about this today, like, why doesn't it feel at all right? And that's the only answer I can come up with. If they could have added that little hop, and they were trying to be as spatial as possible, so I'm fine with it. I'm still really enjoying the game. It's absolutely fantastic as a game. I can see what I can see. Unlike Kid Icarus, I can see why this 8-bit game has been hailed and continued on as something to be held up.
Well, I'm really excited about that. Well, I can't wait. Have you clocked it?
I haven't. I'm about halfway. This is why I told you last night that I hadn't posted. I hadn't done today's post yet. I've actually got it to 151 words now.
151 words. Why are you telling me the word count?
Well, because everything on doofus.net is 150 words long, except podcast write-ups, because I really can't be bothered with those.
Yeah, and this podcast is actually 150 hours long.
It's getting there.
Yeah. I clock that. Doofus.net. Jack it up half an inch on doofus.net. Just trying to get some street
talk.
That's
going to get the wrong audience in for sure. Anyway,
Mofo.
Any other questions about Bionic Commando?
No. I'll relent.
Okay, we'll switch it over to Braid, which is the other game I've been playing 2D all week. And like, it's completely different to Bionic Commando, both in terms of tone, pace, controls. The
name, the first letter's the same.
It is the whole kit and caboodle, because I just want to use that expression.
Kit and caboodle, jack it up half an inch, cock it.
You're just making work for me on the editing floor, aren't you? Braid is basically, I don't know how many people know Blinks from the Xbox, but it's basically a time puzzle game, which I suppose also harks a little bit of the Prince of Persia series, the last set of three releases there.
We were talking about the fact that it reminded us of a lot of 16-bit computer games, as in Atari ST, Amiga, and sort of early PC platformers
purely
in terms of
style. Purely in terms of appearance.
Yeah, which I really liked. I kind of didn't even think that would ever come back. And it was interesting listening to 1UP, because they were saying they described it as a very European style.
Yeah.
And it's just great to kind of see that as a sort of a canon that something can belong to now, because it reminds me of Bitmap Brothers graphic style in a way, that kind of airbrushy feel. So it's Magic Pockets specifically what it reminds me of there.
An
Amiga game called Fire and Ice.
You say that in 2 days. Why Magic Pockets? Because I know neither of us ever owned it.
Well, it's that kind of rocky, grassy sort of slightly painterly landscape that you can navigate, and everything's just been very thought about in terms of the way that it's been airbrushed and styled. It just reminds me of it. I don't have to explain. didn't really have a good answer to that.
Do you remember why you know Magic Pocket so much?
Are you going to talk about Motorbike?
What?
Are you going to talk about the Saturday morning TV program that you could play? You could phone in and play Magic Pockets
by saying left, jump.
By saying left, right, jump.
Fire, fire,
yeah,
fire.
You know, if anyone's willing to do some sort of video call, we could actually, you could play Street Fighter 4 if you're not in if you're not in Japan. We could get Alex set up and you could play it with him.
Play
charge it. Move, charge move, jump,
play
dragon,
through
dragon
me
punch.
Play it through.
Put
me
put more money in.
Yeah, okay. That would be interesting. Anyway, magic. Yeah. Yes.
Fire and Ice. Two. I can't remember the name of it now. Two. There was like a. It was a bit like Chuck Rock. It's not. I don't want to say Cheer Rock. Well, anyway, lots of ocean platformers. It reminds me of those.
Yeah, that it's definitely got that kind of style.
Yeah, which is just nice. I like it.
It's. I wouldn't even say it's nice. I'd say it's soothing. It's
yeah.
pleasant.
I was a bit disappointed by the animation when I actually saw it running.
Of the lead, the characters.
Yeah, you kind of glide rather than walk.
Yes. Yeah. You probably only got. You haven't got many frames of animation.
No.
But.
That's not important, really. If it's a good game.
And it's all based on time puzzles. And you can reverse time, and during a reverse you can then also reverse that and forward time to a specific point. And that's the control you can place on the world. There are other tools within that. There are some levels where as you move right to left, left to right, time will only move when you're moving one way, and it will go backwards when you travel right to left. And then some things are outside of your control of time's influence. And other times, on some levels, let me think. There are five levels basically. Not basically, there are five levels. The first. No,
do you know, I might skip this lecture. Do you think we should go? Understand.
There's an epilogue also, but the five basic.
Is it good, Alex?
Yes,
is
it's
good?
Brilliant. It's amazing.
Right.
And anybody who complains about paying $15, 8 quid for it is a tool.
Can come around my house.
Yeah,
I'll show you.
They can damn well come to Japan. They can damn well come to Japan, and if they do that, then I'll pay for them to have a game of Street Fighter 4 with me.
Yeah.
But also,
you can still hold them aggressively on the shoulder for the whole experience, so they don't feel easy.
Because the simple fact is, whether you enjoy the game or not, having paid 8 quid, you can't deny that it is a good game. It's one of those things where. It's undeniably good, whether you enjoy it or not. If you see what I mean.
If you don't enjoy it, it's still good.
You can still appreciate it, I suppose, is what I'm
right,
saying.
Right, okay. Yes.
But this is made by...
I love how you couldn't explain it, by the way.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be really funny.
Yeah. There are five worlds, I'm going back to that. Okay, look. You can send time forward or backwards. In one world, when you move left to right, in three of the worlds there are slightly different mechanics. One, when you move left to right, or right left to right, time moves forward. Right to left, it moves. Oh, fuck! It's good. If you have an Xbox and you have an internet connection, damn well download it.
You fancy this?
No, not if you fancy this.
Jack it up, Hombre.
This is the complete This is the different thing with Metroid. With Metroid, if you fancy it, go and get it. If you have the ability to buy this game, I recommend you buy it to see what it's like, even if you're not sure you'll like it. That's the difference.
So if you were thinking that's not for me,
I don't
you
care.
Would dispute that fact.
I don't care. I would dispute it. I would say try
don't
it.
Care.
I don't care.
Fucking moron, just buy the game.
The guy who made this deserves your money because it's fantastic.
And you don't deserve to have your money, you idiot. So give it to them. Stop bothering us.
I'm sounding like people keep saying that there are two kind of people: people who don't like Braid and people who love it and can't stop talking about it. I'd like to think I don't fall into either category, in the sense that I don't think it's amazing, but I definitely think it's worth the money, and I think it's worth everyone trying it to see if they'll like it. If nothing else, definitely get the demo. And if you don't like the demo at all, I suppose that's reason enough not to get it. I bought it on the strength of the demo.
Yes. I think it looks fantastic. I don't think I've seen such a genuinely exciting new game in the past sort of few months. There's an undeniable buzz about it.
There is.
And I kind of think that anybody who's even slightly tempted will go out and seek it out in demo form or otherwise.
Well, the fact that the demo exists is perfect. I mean, it's the whole first world of the game.
There's five worlds, people.
Yeah, there are five worlds. Actually,
in the first world, you're a penguin.
Technically, actually, there are more worlds than that. But well, yeah. the world two is the sorry. World two is the world you get to play in the demo. Buy it, play that. Know that there are more tricks in there than you experience in the demo, and that. Just because it's more expensive than most other games on Xbox Live is no reason.
Still not much.
It really isn't. And
you
when I think I paid £25 for that Wario game, which isn't bad, but is, by my mind, mediocre, and I begrudge.
It's for kids.
I traded it back in for £15, so I lost. So in the end, it cost me £10, and Braid cost me £8. And I begrudge Wario the £2 difference between it and Braid.
Wario.
Basically. Yeah.
Basically.
Being the one thing that has comments on the site at the moment, because everybody hates me for having a go at a Nintendo character. And I love Nintendo.
I think they misunderstood that you were using the phrase 12-year-old boys, which I suppose is a loaded phrase in itself. Gary Glitter's on his way back, everybody. That you just meant for kids. It's more of a children's game than it is an adult's game. And in the realm of the 2D platformer, it's a very mature game genre. There can be a lot of complexity there, and it can appeal across the board. And this doesn't.
I know that a lot of people who will be thinking of buying Wario will be also not buying Braid and Bionic Commando. And considering those two combined will cost. Hang on, let me do the maths in the head. Will cost £12.50, and Wario will probably cost £25. Then
I can't even be bothered to translate the money now, but yeah.
So in dollars, so $50 and $25.
Yeah,
you can get two far better games for $25. Contemporary games.
Don't buy Wario is the moral.
Yes, I would say so. my final sum up: I wouldn't buy Wario again, or in the first place. In retrospect,
it's got five levels, folks.
No, Wario
if
has far more than.
It up
oh no, hang
inch.
On. Wario has six levels, six worlds. Sorry, not six levels, six worlds.
Tell me.
Okay.
So I had an idea. I had an idea for a segment, a part of the show.
Okay, this is going to cut. This is going to cut off the nice transition from Braid to Games as Art, but you go for it.
Soul Calibur's come out, and it's got the absurd edition of Yoda and Darth Vader.
Yes.
It's absurd, it really is. You can fight on the Death Star. Of course it's brilliant, but it's kind of absurd. So I was thinking, what other characters from science fiction films could be in Soul Calibur that you could buy, and who would you like? And I'd like to put forward this one.
Yes.
And it's from the end of his career. Scotty from Star Trek. He's all fat. He's all fat. And all he can do is complain. But because of his huge girth, he can withstand punches. You have to fight for 20 minutes to knock all of his energy off. I don't know what his special moves would be. What do you reckon?
Well, I suppose you could, like, launch warp coils at them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It could be an engineering in Star Trek, and he could roll barrels at you or something, but...
This is one of my big complaints about the game, is that there's no interaction with the environment. Maybe he could be the one person that interacts with the environment and screws you
Exactly,
out,
like. He cowers under desks, sweating profusely, generally being a huge gut of a man.
Yeah.
I was also thinking you could have bones just before he dies, just as this really brittle thing. You hit him once, he just turns to dust. This doesn't have to also just be science fiction characters, but I thought that might be a nice link. Send them in, folks.
I wish you'd warned me about that. All I can think at the moment—it's
quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, all I can think at the moment.
I was thinking about it while you were trying to explain the levels of Braid.
I can imagine you had lots of time.
Shoehorning
in somebody from Event Horizon, maybe the guy who says, "Where you're going, you don't need eyes to see," would be.
Yes, the evil demon played by Sam Neill. Perhaps just Sam Neill in all of his guises.
Was
Sam Neill in Jurassic Park? He could take off his sunglasses in a shocked manner, which isn't really a move. And that's all the films he's been in, so there you go.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another science fiction movie that could be pretty. Oh!
I'd like to see Oprah on there.
She's been in a science fiction movie?
She was in The Colour Purple, which is made by Steven Spielberg, who's made science fiction movies.
We're not doing 6 degrees of Steven Spielberg.
That's the part of the show, yes. Oprah Winfrey, she doesn't do anything, but she's surrounded by middle American rednecks who are in a massive crowd behind her, who throw cushions at you. Tom Cruise could throw cushions at you, or they could just generally boo until you collapse.
Okay.
Yeah, they could throw hardback books at you.
Just because I want to fight as Bruce Willis.
Where you're all the characters that Bruce Willis has ever been?
That would be selectable characters.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Although I don't
you
know
could have
spoiler. I don't know how the guy from Sixth Sense would fight.
Hey, that'd be brilliant. That'd be really good.
Yeah.
Maybe Haley Joel Osment could play, and he could be behind him, just looking worried.
Yeah.
Worried and quiet. And also the orange jersey wearing Fifth Element Bruce Willis, that'd be a good one.
Obviously, John McClane in all four eras.
Are you wearing the film North, where he's dressed as a pink bunny for the entire film?
Yes. You
could be that. That would be good. That appeals to the kids. This is a winning idea. You could have all the diehards.
I just said that all the diehards,
yeah, all the
each
McClane
era,
his blooded toes in the first one. He could leave blood all over the floor.
Him in Charlie's Angels 2.
What?
He gets killed by Demi Moore in he gets killed by his ex-wife in Charlie's Angels 2. I thought that
was brilliant. Yeah, the end of Game Boss could be Demi Moore with Ashton Kutcher on a leash.
As much as I appreciate the irony of that, I'd far rather it was Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah, he is the end of Game Boss.
Yeah.
Of life in real world. Yeah. Who else? What other British Bruce Willis? Or would you rather I stop talking about fictional?
Not only did you take me off the topic we were on, but
it was a good journey. Although we're in the cul-de-sac now, we're reversing
so far down the cul-de-sac. Okay, where were we?
Yeah, it could be called Bruised Willies. Alright, that's enough. Go on, what were you going to talk about?
I was going to talk about games as art, but
my god, that bleeds in perfectly.
We were on Braid. The guy is all about games as art, and you take me away. You take me away from that to talk about Bruised Willies.
Well, it's easier for you to actually describe a game which doesn't exist than one that actually you've been playing for the past few weeks.
Okay.
Games as art.
It is quite short. It didn't take me a few weeks. Games don't tend to, actually. But,
So Braid is one of the first games that is described as...
No, it's not at all one of the first games. It's one of the first mainstream ones, and certainly one of the first ones that... you can download for a console, because they've been present on PCs as, you know, for like free downloads and things for a long time, and I haven't experienced much of them. The majority of my knowledge of them comes from listening to the GFW podcast on 1UP.com. They did a nice little talk about it last week during the Braid podcast.
I'll check that out.
Yep. And
jack it up an inch.
Now, the issue, it's actually an issue that's been going for a long time. The current movement is a group that has actually put are looking into games as art through the interaction with the games, but the concept of them being art, I think, has been running a lot longer because they're becoming, because they tell stories, because there's so many other facets to games, that there's no reason that they couldn't evolve to an art form. But there's this argument that games could be perceived as art because they impart a story, they can convey a message in a similar way to movie. So if movies can be art, why can't games?
Or installation art, indeed. I suppose.
And I mean, I've been thinking about this personally, and we're not actually going to talk about Braid, because I obviously, Braid and other games as art, because I obviously haven't done my research on that topic specifically. But as an art form, I was thinking, games are always going to struggle because they are an iterative process, far more so than art, and they have, it's rare that a game has a single person controlling the vision completely. And I think that would surely be part of the definition of art, is that it's one person's message, one person's idea, vision that they're trying to convey to the world with an interpretation.
The idea that it's art because somebody says it is, whereas if it's a team project, it can deviate in vision.
Well, I think it's the difference between design and art, basically, is that something can be a fantastic piece of design, but for it to be art, it has to be a singular vision where they say, no, this is how I want it to be. They are unrestrained, unconfined by other influences.
Now, I'd say you're right there.
And I think it's a very difficult, I mean, I say iterative process, like remaking, rebuilding. I'm not talking about somebody playing through it to look for bugs, but for a company, in almost any sense, they will have somebody play the game, and somebody will say, and they'll not just say, talk about the bug that they find, the problem they find with the game, but they'll also give feedback as to, it didn't work, or they didn't feel this. Whereas in fact, in art, that's left up to your interpretation. An artist does not go out and say, does this make you feel frustration?
No, because it's irrelevant, because it's their message to you.
It's their message, and if you take what they wanted away from it, fantastic for them. But
I see, because you can attune a game so much for everyone to have a similar shared experience.
Yes. And during the creation, they are almost inevitably, especially on the major releases, the console titles, things that have the time and money sinks that they inevitably do, they have to go through this kind of collaborative kind of dumbing down of the idea to make it popular to everyone, to make it readable by everyone, that it's very difficult for any mainstream game to be art because they are not controlled by that single vision. They are it becomes watered down, basically.
It's an interesting thing for game producers to suddenly want and to be striving for. And whether or not it quite fits, I completely agree with your view that it doesn't quite fit with the idea of art. But then I suppose by the nature of the phrase games as art, it does need a bit of explaining that this is a slightly different game. We want you to take away different values and different experiences from this game, but it's a good thing to be striving for. I think it won't be long before, unarguably, there'll be games that are art, because it seems to be that the amount of people that can work on a game and produce one now is shrinking again, which is nice. And of course, the big games, the amount of people are getting bigger.
The two sides of that. But
when you talk about sort of, I don't know, Rockstar versus people who made Braid, or people who made
person,
Halo, for instance.
The person, I think, who made Braid.
Exactly. So
I think that's another big part of it.
Good thing to strike.
The problem is the artist also has. Really, 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 for it to be art, I think, although I would say there's an argument for something like Metal Gear Solid, which is very much under the control of a single director, like a movie,
yes,
to be art. I think there is an argument there. I think there's a possibility for that big title to become art if it's truly under the control of a director with a vision. Then in the same way a movie can be art, I believe a game can be art. But I think in a smaller sense, when you think of a painting as art, if that's what we're taking to be the kind of baseline, then the artist also needs to be a programmer. So you need a creative artistic programmer who is
working within their confines. Sculptors don't make their sculptures generally
these days.
I mean, they're no, not really. I mean, like, I don't know, let's take Jeff Koons, doesn't make his things, he designs them, and you know, he gets them produced, and he directs them being made. They're still his vision. In that way, does it qualify?
But it could, actually, with that, but would he, as the sculptor, as the designer, know the limits of the material he's working to?
I assume so, but it's very behind the scenes, in fact. It's, and maybe that's part of the art in a way, because, you know, these people aren't credited or mentioned.
Well, that could also,
but it's part of the team.
I think
Ron Muick, who makes the big sort of sleeping stroke dead babies, massive heads, huge pregnant ladies, he doesn't do it alone, but he's completely solely credited for that work. So maybe it's also to do with the personalities of the people who design it. Maybe they need to be more mysterious and Bowie-esque.
I think we just came to the same conclusion.
Did we?
Just like
the end of He-Man or something. We can all laugh as it fades out.
we both just said, as long as it's under the control of a single visionary.
It doesn't matter if that's a lie.
And in the case of the big... it just becomes more watered down in the case of the big developers, because obviously the big titles, they have to be considering financial, they have to worry about getting their money back. The bigger your team gets, the more of the copies you have, the more copies you have to sell of a game, basically.
Yes.
So they have to, the bigger games have to censor their vision. They have to edit their vision to be something more mass market, whereas these smaller developers have the ability to maintain their vision. So,
yes,
in the same way, Blade Runner could be considered a work of art. I would argue for Blade Runner as a piece of art, as a movie, which was heavily edited by a production team, but was still under the vision of Ridley Scott. I think some bigger titles could come into under that kind of range, whereas when you look at these games as art, you're looking at those kind of art movies, those 15 minute things that are made by people outside of the budget constraints, outside of production, outside of any overseer that's controlling or giving input to their vision.
I don't know that it matters a huge amount, but I think it's very important for developers to have this idea, this thing to strive towards. I don't think it matters at the end of the day about your experience. I don't think people really are having lofty considerations about these games, but it does bring me on to something which I'd like to discuss maybe next next podcast, which is, I suppose it's kind of like a full circle thing, but it's a more precious idea now with Braid, for instance, and it comes back to Magic Pocket. But a lot of production houses during the sort of 16-bit computer era had house styles and had kind of house visions for things. You know, you could tell it was a game made by a particular production house instantly by looking at it. Because the limitations of graphics, the resolution meant that, you know, artists would have a style that was instantly recognizable. And of course Nintendo has a style and whatnot. But there was a sort of small groups of games that referenced each other as well as their production house, and maybe it might be nice to talk about them. I can think of Sensible Software and the Bitmap Brothers to whet
those
appetite.
Certainly two of the more stylized people.
Definitely,
from the era.
You
drove me a little bit off topic there, because I still talking about game design. I had I've got an idea for Game Desert.
Game Bruce, what this will be packaged with?
Is this game's literally as art, though. I would.
Okay.
If you take, and this would be an argument, you take Space Invaders, you take Pac-Man, you take. Yep. Let me think. Okay, you take Space Invaders and Pac-Man, and you remove Scores.
Okay.
Okay. And you take Mario Brothers, the completely black background one where you just run around and try and knock turtles over, but remove the turtles.
Right.
And then you literally just put a title with it. And then you have to reassess whether it's a piece of art. So, imagine you're just playing Space Invaders, but there is absolutely no score. And you call it, I don't know, hopelessness, futility, whatever. Because there is no point.
Sounds like Mario Tennis.
Does it then does it then become art? I mean, it just another kind of media.
Do we care?
No, not really. Okay. I just want an excuse to put Space Invaders Machine in a museum.
That already existed. I'm sure Space Invaders is in a museum somewhere.
That's true. But
yeah, you don't need to worry about that.
It's more a piece of design than as a piece of art, which I think.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. Or removing all of the bad guys from, say, Mario 64, so you can just wander around.
On the Mario Brothers game, though, call it Loneliness and just have you in there.
Yeah,
and
I like
you could, you could have two players where you both just walk around together. Also,
well, that comes. That links to playing games in a way that they're not meant to be played and finding it more fun.
Emergent gameplay, Darren. Emergent gameplay.
No, it's not. No, I've never heard of that. Well, I don't know, like, when you drive around a course backwards, just because you just think, oh, fuck this.
And in a way, that's kind of topic, aren't you?
I'm leading up to it. But yeah, that kind of, like, trying to destroy the game feeling that you can get. Or knowing there's a bug in a game, which is actually quite fun, that you intentionally try to do. I remember on Formula One, Jeff Cramer's Formula One on the Amiga.
Yeah.
If you hit a certain rumble strip going at a certain speed, your car took off and flew. And I spent afternoons doing that, which is quite sad to admit now. But it's that kind of thing. It's it was more of a kind of there was no point to it other than the enjoyment of breaking the game a bit.
Yeah,
don't get that so much now.
I think you get that more now, but not in a broken way. I think because the games have become more open world, you can do things you're not meant to do, though. Being a far more, you are allowed to do them, but it's not the point of the game, is it?
Yeah, isn't it more exciting when you're not meant to do them?
Yeah, and not in a way the game expects. I mean, it's something the game doesn't expect is what we're. You're really.
But still supports that little bit of weird freedom.
Supports through error as opposed to. Yeah, yeah.
This has got very abstract, doesn't it? I like this.
Yeah.
It's real noodling pontification, but no one else is doing it.
Somebody
possibly a reason why.
Yeah, maybe.
This kind of goes nowhere. This is like one of those experiences. It's just kind of going a little bit nowhere, but it might be fun.
Well, at one hour 45 minutes, you've got to wonder who's still bloody listening.
We're going to keep it all in.
Okay, we're going to wrap up because this has gone on far too long. I'm recording again,
Darren. We're going to jack it up. Going to clock it out.
Jack it up, and then we're going to clock it out. Clock it out. Clock it. Not clock it out. Just clock it.
I'm just elaborating.
Okay, fair enough.
Jack it up half an inch. I've written them down.
Today we have not touched on the topic we were meant to talk about, which was 2D fighters. So maybe that'll be next week.
Yeah, Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage.
Hey, we're not running out of things to talk about, though.
That's true. Yeah, we're not running out of things to talk about. Everybody's run out of listening to us talk.
We're enjoying it, though. So
yeah, well, I might be able to edit out a little bit, so it's down to less than.
Don't edit out any of the bit where you're talking about Braid.
Oh, you bastard! That was all the bit I was going to take out. Okay.
Well,
okay.
If listener, you've noticed that the bit about Braid's quite short and has little kind of noises in it, then he's edited it.
You bastard. I didn't talk about Soul Calibur either. Damn it, I was meant to do that.
You're going to have to... Well, maybe next show will be the outtakes. Everything we didn't get into this one. Hold on, you already talked about Soul Calibur last week.
Oh, yeah, briefly.
What else have you got to say about
the
it?
Well, the review's going up, and I suppose...
What have you got to say? The review, okay. Well, next week is the voting episode, then.
Yay!
Turkey.
So, by next week, hopefully, well, the... Soul Calibur review will be going up. I will be writing a piece on Game Desert.
We're going to talk about scrolling beat 'em ups.
I will write another review of something, and I might have something up on the fourth wall, like breaking the fourth wall when doing gaming reviews, and that means talking about the circumstances in which you play them and not the game specifically. Which I believe is becoming increasingly difficult
because of the DS.
Not just the DS, but I believe it's becoming increasingly difficult to review a game without, in some way, breaking that barrier.
Context.
Yeah, purely because the cost. If you have an HDTV or not, if you have surround sound or not, I believe it's becoming far more important in gaming. Or if you're playing on the train, or if you're not. All factors. So there might be something on that going up this week also, or next week.
I can hardly wait.
And I will be playing Two Human, which I'm really excited about, but I know is getting mediocre reviews, and I suspect it to be fairly mediocre. But I have hopes for it, but they're tempered by realism. So it's all going to be an interesting time.
Wow, it's going to be a good one.
Hopefully shorter than this one, though.
Yeah, well, this is... Sometimes you just can't help it. Sometimes you just got to swell up and burst.
Yes. I'll see what I can do on the editing floor, though.
What
I'm going to try and do is I'm just going to try and edit out my pauses when I'm talking about Braid.
That'll sound insane. I think you should do it. We'll put it on the end, at least.
I'm going to put this part on the start, and then when they get to Braid, they'll know.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And now, the rest of the podcast.
So yeah, that's this week. We're out.
I'm comforted by the lack of technical charm you have with it.
Now is it recording? We still don't know if it's recording. Now it says stop recording, but the counter isn't ticking. Well, let's hope it's recording. Otherwise.
Yeah, hope.
Maybe we should take this from the top, and I should press all these buttons.